Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him.
Great. Thank you, Phil. And good afternoon, everyone. Please keep your Bibles open at Colossians chapter 2 as we look at it together. Now, what will keep us going this year? We're in 2025, it's a new year, and many of us find it easy to set ourselves goals or tasks, resolutions, if you will, something to aim towards and to feel that sense of accomplishment. Now, for some of you, it might be learning a new skill. It might be trying to maintain or begin a healthy lifestyle, or even wanting to start afresh this year and do something different altogether. Now, I did a quick Google search and I was able to dig up the most popular resolutions from 2024. I don't know if they're on your list for this year, if you're doing them. And the top 10 included things you might expect: losing weight, eating healthily, get fit, taking care of mental health, spending more time with family and friends, sorting out finances, travel more, get a new job, please don't move away from Morgate, stop or reduce drinking, smoking, time on social media. Now, they all sound pretty good, don't they? In fact, they're quite noble causes. But will doing all of those things actually improve your life? Or is there something better out there that's worth pursuing? What if the secret to contentment and happiness in life isn't found in a routine of making vows and then breaking them a few months later, but instead it's found in someone who is greater than us, someone who has met our needs before a holy, righteous God, and has not only given us a certain hope worth looking forward to, but helps us to grow in maturity and walk in a manner by which we can say that 2025 will be a good year. Now, some of what I've just mentioned there is the big picture, the big message of Colossians. In Colossians, Paul is writing to a group of believers who he is encouraged by since he discovered them coming to faith and knowing Jesus as Lord. And Paul's desire for them is that they will both grow in spiritual maturity so that they can walk in a manner worthy of glorifying Jesus as Lord, and in doing so, bearing good fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. And so Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15, our passage this afternoon, Paul reminds the Colossians of one thing that they are to do. Look at verse 6 with me. Paul says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Now, those words "in him" are a bit funny to us today because they're not words we normally use today. But as a matter of fact, to be in him or to be in Christ is another way of saying who you are in your identity. If you are in Christ, you are a Christian. You follow Jesus and you proclaim that he is Lord. And so to walk in a manner worthy of this is the way in which you're to keep going in 2025 this year. And so for us to keep going, we're going to look at how we can keep going in Christ in verses 6 to 8, and we're going to be reminded of why we are able to keep going in verses 9 to 15. So we've got 2 points, 2 headings for you. The first one is be rooted and built up in Christ to keep going. And the second heading is the hope that keeps us going in Christ. Okay, let's look at this first point here. Be rooted and built up in Christ to keep going. Now look at verses 6 to 8 with me. Paul says this: therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, just to give you some context here, Paul explodes into a sauna of praise of who Jesus is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. It's an amazing passage that I would encourage you to read sometime. And not only does Paul tell us who Jesus is, but then he goes on to say what Jesus has done. And through this Jesus, Paul reminds the Colossians of how they came to faith. It's by Jesus' amazing work on the cross. And so Paul has given them the foundations of the Christian faith, who Jesus is and what he has done. And so because of this, you would imagine that Paul might say, okay, now you've understood this, now you've got the basics, let's go deeper and bigger and better. And in fact, that's what some people were trying to enforce upon these believers, that you need to do more, that you need to adopt certain practices, and you need to lean into further experiences in order to grow. But look at what Paul says instead. Instead of being distracted by these things, as you first believed in Christ Jesus, or as you received him, the creator of the universe who gave his life for you to know God, as you first looked into him, as you first looked to him, keep looking at him. Keep learning more of who Christ is through the riches of his word, and keep being amazed at the wonder of who he is. In fact, anything else that is said is merely a distraction to draw you away from the source of life. And so, root your life in him. As you look to him, build your life upon him, and grow in maturity through the knowledge of him, so that you can walk in a manner worthy and be fruitful for God. Now, sometimes the Christian life doesn't feel that exciting, does it? And the temptation is that we need more to prove that we are walking in the right steps of faith. And with that will come voices who will give insight and wisdom as to what we need to do in order to grow and to go. Now, some people say it's meditation that's what we need, which is more spiritually profound, more experiential, more disciplined. Some will say it's a hard work ethic, giving your all and sacrificing everything for success. And some will also say it's another religion, another pathway, another philosophy in order to knowing God. And some will say it's more hedonistic than that. It's living in the moment right here, right now. Because it's now or never. Everything that you do, the holidays, the concert tickets, the executive box of football games, everything is all about taking in life here and now and living for the moment. But the only thing that will truly keep us going, Paul says, is that we know Christ and set our minds upon him. And we do so through understanding God's word rightly. You see, the Colossians first knew Jesus when they understood the truth of who he is through the ministry of the word that was given to them back in chapter 1, verse 7, through Epaphras. And so the very way they learnt of him is the same way in which they will keep on growing in faith and walking in faith each day. And the same is true for us as well. Because in Christ, we have all that we need. And in Christ, we learn the security of our salvation as we can look ahead in certain hope of what is to come. And Paul goes on in greater detail to explain what that is for those who are in Christ, which is our second point. The hope that keeps us going in Christ. And what is it exactly? What is this hope that will keep us going? Now, there's lots of reasons that Paul gives here as to why we are secure in Christ. But we're going to look at three specific points. Firstly, we are filled with Christ whilst being in him. Now look at what Paul says in verses 9 to 10. Paul says here that for in him the whole fullness of God or deity dwells bodily. And for us to understand this, we need to see it like this. So this is Jesus. Okay? And he is filled with the fullness of God. Okay? So Jesus, God in Jesus, okay? So as you can see, in Jesus is filled with the fullness of God. Okay, but let's keep on reading here. Look on at verse 10 with me here. Paul also goes on to say that you have been filled in him. Okay, so if God has been, or if Jesus has been filled with God, and if we are then filled with Jesus, then Jesus is in us, okay? This is you, okay? Looks a bit shoddy, looks a bit broken. That's your life. Get used to it. Okay? So God in Christ and Christ in you. Now, let's keep on reading. Because we see throughout this passage as well that we are also in Christ, okay? So here we have Christ. And here we go inside Christ, okay? So here we have God in Christ, Christ in you, and you are in Christ, okay? This is your life, right here, summed up in this box, if you are a Christian. Make sense? You're with me? Okay, let's just put you here, okay? So we are in Christ. Christ is in us, and the fullness of God is in him. Christ, who is the head of all rule and authority, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 20, he is sovereign over all things he created. In him, all things are held together, including us. And furthermore, chapter 1, verse 22, we are presented before God, holy, without blemish, and free from sin. Why? Because, Colossians 1, 27, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. So if you feel threatened that Christ isn't enough, if you feel like you need more, or that your faith is shaky, then think about this. This is where you are right now, if you're a Christian here today. You are in Christ. And there is no more secure place than being in him, the one who fills you and makes you fit for his kingdom and fit to stand before God. And it helps us to see that we are also, secondly, set apart in new life with him. And we see that in verses 11 to 13. And you often hear people saying around this time of year, it's a new year, a new me. But there's a song from a band I like that often sums it up. They say these words. So this is the new year, but I don't feel any different. You see, you can try and change something about yourself, but you will always still be you. But look at what Paul says in verses 11 to 12. If you're in Christ, this is the change that has happened to you. In him, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And Paul is saying here that if you are in Christ, you can call yourself a new me because in Christ you have been raised to new life and set apart in new life with him. You see, in the past you did what everyone else did around you. And Paul says in Colossians 1 that you were an enemy of God. But now, God has set you apart. That's what's meant here by circumcision in verse 11. Not by the old ceremonial practices, but by Christ. Because you were buried with him in death, and you were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who gives life. Now, one of the things that my wife and I are trying to do this year is we're trying to make our home a home. We moved in just last August and we haven't had much time to do any DIY or, decorating. And we want to make our home a warm and inviting place for people that we can host and bring around to us. And there's one thing that I love in my house, I don't know if you love it too, it's houseplants. But here's the problem with having houseplants in our home. My wife, Lauren, is a serial plant killer. Okay? She is a threat to all botanical life. And to cure this, I've only got one solution for it. She is banned from looking after any of the plants in our home. I mean, just this morning, I realized that she had left the curtains closed in our living room for 3 days. Where the plants in our living room have been starved of all sunlight. So that gives you an inkling of what I'm talking about here. Now here's the problem when a plant dies. When a plant dies, it's very difficult to revive it, isn't it? You can water it, you can give it sunlight, but if it's dead, it's dead. Well, this is what God does. God does the impossible with us. God spiritually revives us. He brings us to life. Because in sin, we are dead. But God gives us new life through Christ. Look at verse 13 with me. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. You see, those trespasses, that rebellion, that sin, it is the way in which we live like the rest of the world. We were enemies with God. But God, through his love and his kindness and mercy, has made us alive together with him. You see, you are given new life in Jesus if you are a Christian. And you're set apart too because you are now in Christ. So we've seen how we've been filled with Christ. We've seen how we've been set apart in new life with him. And finally, we see now how we are redeemed and rescued from evil by him. As we read there in verse 13, God has made alive together, has made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. How? Verse 14. By cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. In him. Now, as we've mentioned, it's January, and some of you might get the January blues. Someone is right when they said the third Monday in January is known as Blue Monday, because it is the hardest day of the week for many of us. And usually the reason why January blues come around is typically because a lot of people find themselves in debt just after the Christmas season. But the record of debt Paul is talking here in verse 14 is much worse than any financial woe that we may think of. Because look at verse 13. Paul is talking about here our transgressions, our sin. Every single thing that we do, which is an offense to a holy and just God. And that burden cannot be repaid by us through anything that we try to do. And this isn't just one or two light things that can be swept under the carpet. Paul makes it clear how separated you were in your transgressions. Because in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says that you were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. But God's great plan was to redeem you so that you would be rescued from those who ruled over your hostile state. And God's great plan went into action when his son Jesus went to the cross, where your sins, your transgressions, everything you've done in your entire life, past, present, future, is nailed to the cross. Jesus pays for your life with his blood and satisfies the payment for sin before a holy, just God. You see, this good news, this gospel, sets us apart and frees us to live in hope. We've been rescued and redeemed by Christ as we are set apart in new life in him, so that we can be filled with Christ whilst also being found in him. You see, your life as a Christian is shaped and defined by the God who dwells in you and your life, meaning your perspective is found completely in him. And so what does this mean for us today? There's one thing I want to share with you that will help us apply this truth in Colossians chapter 2. And it's this. For us to enjoy stability and peace for this year ahead, be in Christ. To enjoy stability and peace for the year ahead, be in Christ. Now, we have seen why it's so amazing to find ourselves in Christ, or to be known as a Christian who follows him. And there will be times when you find yourself struggling to find peace because of the chaos of all that's going on around you. Your work-life balance can feel impossible to manage. The bills might stack up and you feel it's impossible to pay them all off. And you find that it's easier to eat fast food or to drink a Huel than it is to prepare your own meals due to the poor lifestyle or the time poor lifestyle that you have. And it could be so many other things going on around you that makes this year difficult. Sickness, loved ones dying, or something just as bad. But it is in those moments when doubt creeps in, and we feel like we have to do more in order to adjust our lives in order to find balance. But Paul encourages us not to do more, but to set our minds upon Christ and be reminded of who he is and all that he has done for us. See, Jesus is both the one who has rescued us from sin and the one who has reconciled us to God. And he is the one who secures us in the certain hope and enables us to grow in him. If you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, then listen to these words from Paul in Colossians 3 that teaches us to how we can live out the hope that we have in him for this year ahead. As I said, it's not about trying to do more or working hard at being a better person. Paul says this, "Set your minds on the things that are above, where Christ is right now in glory. Put to death your old self and put on compassionate hearts that are filled with the gift of his grace, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In other words, Christ has given you all that you need in him. Not only has he given you all that you need, but he has placed his presence within you through his Spirit. And so if you are a Christian, you can live in a response of gratitude and thankfulness, knowing that you are content in Christ. But if you're here today and you don't know who Jesus is, then can I encourage you to find out more about him and see why he is able to give you all that you need. What you might find out is that with this Jesus that we hear of here is the solutions to your worries, your desires and your ambitions. They're all solved. You see, in today's culture, we see a lot of people seeking to find themselves, to find belonging and a sense of wonder in the experience that they must have in order to find that fulfillment. Now, why else would anyone pay thousands of pounds to go and see Taylor Swift live or go to an Oasis reunion gig? And yet, here in Jesus, all those things, not necessarily a Taylor Swift ticket, but more is found in him. Because only Jesus is able to eternally satisfy those longings, because he is the eternal Lord. And so this year, no matter who you are, do one thing. Get to know Jesus more and more. Now next week we'll be returning to our series of Mark's Gospel as we see who the real Jesus is. Can I encourage you to come along to invite your colleagues, to hear about who Jesus is, and to build your life upon him. Walk in his ways, and see why he is worth following. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that your truth points us to Jesus and to know him, and Lord, to help us to walk in him. Lord, as we look to this year ahead, Father, may you encourage us to look to Jesus more and more through the work of your Spirit in our lives. And Father, help us to see why he is worth following. Help us to see why he is someone that we can put our trust and our lives in the hands of. And Father, why we can grow in him through who he is and the work he has done for us. Lord, we thank you for this confidence that we can have in Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you help us to look to him each day through your grace. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.